Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 31. It wasn't until recently that I found out that this is not the most exciting passage for mothers to be preached on Mother's Day, because it is a hard thing to follow. But it is good for us to recognize that and understand that this is that perfect example of what a mother and wife should be. And so it is good for all of us to strive to be the type of person that God wants us to be. And so I'm going to be reading out of Proverbs 31. And so I'm thankful that you're here today, and it is good to honor God with your presence and by the reading of His Word. And so if you would just take some time and look at Proverbs 31, verse 10, it says this: "Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like a merchant's ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She rises also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maids. She considers a field and buys it, and with the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goes out not by night. She lays her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretches out her hand to the poor, yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all of her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, and her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linens and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in the time to come. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and in the tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he prays to her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excelleth them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." Father, we come before you. We say thank you, Lord, for those godly mothers that have blessed us and encouraged us, for those faithful women of God that have simply impacted our lives in so many ways. So, Lord, today as we look at your word, help us to recognize the pattern that's been set and how we ought to honor them and lift them up and recognize how good it is for them to be in our midst. Lord, today give me wisdom and guidance and compassion. Let me say the truth and nothing less. And Lord, I pray that I would be used by you to encourage others this morning, that we all may continue to grow in our faith and draw close to you. Thank you so much for that promise, Lord, that when your word is read, not come back void. We ask all this now in Jesus' name, amen. I think I told you this story before, but it fits well here, so let me tell you again. I heard about a mother concerned about her child going off to college for the first time. And so she writes the university president and says, "Dear sir, I am writing you in particular to give you notice that please take some personal time and attention to find my son a good roommate. I want my son to have a roommate that does not drink, that does not smoke, that does not chase after women, and simply does good. You see, I'm writing this because my son has never left me except for the 3 years that he stayed in the Marine Corps." You'll get that in a minute. She was a mother that truly loved her only son. I love mothers like that because they truly care much about us, and they want the very best for us. And so it's good to see in the book of Proverbs this idea of a godly mother. Now, my title is Mother or Medea, because sometimes a good mother may be like Medea that has to straighten us out a little bit. And so notice some things in this passage that speak about a virtuous woman. I'm reminded that word virtuous is strength, it is wealth, it is capable, it is excellent. But also in 2 Samuel, that word virtuous, as we'll see about this virtuous woman, is also translated as an army or as an host. And it may seem like you have to be an army of people to accomplish the things found in Proverbs chapter 31. But let me remind you, God is there to help us. Matter of fact, the psalmist said, "My help comes from the Lord, which made the heavens and the earth." And of course, the book of Philippians says this in 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." And so how can you be a virtuous woman that has a price far above rubies? Well, notice some things in this passage that speak to that. One, she is devoted to her husband. She is devoted to her husband. I'm reminded also the first institution created by God was the family. It was that marriage between a man and a woman. And we have found throughout the scripture that it is a good thing, and it is good for the husband and the wife to be devoted to each other. Proverbs chapter 18 says, "Whoso finds a wife finds a good thing, obtains favor of the Lord." Proverbs chapter 12 verse 4 says, "A virtuous woman is the crown of her husband, but she that makes him ashamed is a rottenness in his bones." And so we recognize that this devoted wife does good things. One, she has a priority for her husband. She has a priority for her husband. If you read again verse 10, it says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her." And so we recognize there's a priority for this one called her husband. There's a priority in their bond before children, before work, before anything else. She is to love her husband right behind the Lord. We recognize this. This is the way of God. And so many times in our midst, we forget what our priority is. We focus on this and we focus on that. We focus on good things, but the priority should be to our spouse. She has a priority for their bond. I want you to recognize that we need to understand that God has joined man and woman together. I like Ephesians 5:24. "Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." I want you to understand what that bond is, that the wife surrenders to the husband and the husband sacrifices to the wife. And so you had this one, both bringing themselves under to each other, loving as they should. So there's a priority in the bond, but also there's a priority in the affection. Verse 11 says, "The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil." And that idea of spoil is a thing captured in war. It was a thing that was captured as they went off and conquered these different lands. And so in their affection, the husband has no need to look anywhere else. He's not looking to be content in any other place except for his wife. He is the husband is a one-woman kind of man. I like the idea of this affection. It means to be friendly. If you read Titus chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 says, "And the aged women, likewise, they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not giving too much wine, teach their good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober," and notice this, "to love their husbands and to love their children." You say, teach them to love their husbands. Well, yes, that word love is philandros. It means to be nice to them, amen? And so you're not only to love them, but to be nice to your spouse, to be affectionate when it comes to each other. And so she has a priority for her husband, but also she is a pillar for her husband. Verse 12 says, "She will do good and not evil all the days of her life." She will do good to him and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks his best interest. It's great to have a partner that you can rely on. It's great to have a spouse that you know that has your back. It is good to have a spouse that you know that you can trust with everything that you have. There's a sense of security and love so that her husband trusts and is trustworthy to her, a confidant and a friend, a partner in life. I'm reminded what it says in Genesis chapter 2. It says, "The Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. Therefore, I make for a helpmeet from him." And if you remember the story there, that he takes a bone from Adam, not a bone from his head that the woman should be above the man, nor a bone from his foot that the man should walk upon the woman, but a bone from his side that the two would be partners and companions all their life. It is good to understand the value that God places in marriage. It is important to understand how good it is for us to be affectionate, that we have a pillar for each other in one sense, that we can lift each other up. It is good to be found faithful when it comes to those things like that. And so she has a priority for her husband. She's a pillar for her husband, but thirdly, she promotes her husband. Verse 23 says, "Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land." I just want to make sure that you understand this. It is important, ladies, to always talk good about your husbands, to lift him up and not cut him down. When you speak about him, is it in a positive way or a negative way? And you say, "Well, that really don't matter about my husband." I'm telling you, you need to recognize and understand how important it is to lift your husband up with good words. Let me ask you this. As others talk about your husband and they say something good, are you proud or are you jealous? We need to recognize that God wants us to be a faithful body of believers, a faithful couple, a faithful person. And so one way we do that is encourage and lift and help others up. And so we need to recognize that we all need encouragement at times. And so are you doing those things that cause your spouse to be lifted up? I'm going to tell you a secret. You probably already know this. You are married to an imperfect human being that needs to be encouraged. I'm reminded by this story. It says this: behind every good man, there's a good woman and a surprised mother-in-law. We need that encouragement. She is an encourager. Just as Job's wife did not encourage, how that was not good, and Lot's wife was not an encourager, we need our wives to encourage us, to help us, to kind of set us on the right track. Not nagging, that's not what I'm saying, but to point us in the right direction and be faithful. Now let me say this, guys. It cannot be one-sided. You cannot just expect for your wife to always build you up. You must also help her and encourage her. Verse 28 says, her children will rise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. I want you to understand that God's called us both to encourage each other. You should praise your wife. How? Praise her with your mouth. Take the time to thank her for all she does. Brag on her in public. Tell her often what she means to you. Does she cook for you? Tell her how good it was. Does she balance the checkbooks? Say thank you. Is she a caretaker? Is she a cleaner? What does she do? Whatever she does, you praise her with your mouth. Secondly, you ought to provide for her. Make a living. Don't be a bum. Work hard. I'm just going to say it like it should be. We should be a provider and live out a life that honors the Lord. How about practical help around the house? Don't say that's not my job. My friends, let me just say, God sent you a helpmate. It is your job to do those things, and she comes alongside and helps you get it done. Are you being practical? Do you wash the dishes every so often? Do you make the bed up? What do you do in practical help? That praises her. How about purchasing gifts? Hopefully you did that sometime soon. It is Mother's Day, for goodness sakes. How about promise and proclaim your love to her on a daily basis? You know, there's a guy in our church, he's deceased now, and he was a rough old guy. And, of course, you've heard this but different places, but this was true of him also. His wife complained that she said, you never tell me you love me. And his story was, well, I told you when I got married I loved you, and if I change my mind, I'll tell you that too. How do you proclaim your love to your wife? Do you write it in the butter? I do. Open that butter and write, I love you on there. And you say, that's kind of cheesy. No, that's buttery. How about on a grocery list? I'm just going to tell you what I do. Maybe you'll get some benefit out of this. Amen, guys. I just start on day one, then I flip down there, I love you. And just all little notes on the grocery list. So when she opens the grocery list, she sees that you were thinking about her. Put a sticky note on the car keys. Maybe something in the coffee cup. Maybe on the mirror in the bathroom. All this does is say, I'm thinking of you. I love you. Then lastly, you ought to pray for her on a daily basis. You say, well, I don't know what to pray for. Well, pray this. Pray for her having to put up with you and all the things you do. She needs prayer. And if you don't know what to pray for, ask her. Ask her how you can pray. Let her know that you're putting God first and her next, and that you're praying daily for her, that she may have a fulfilled life when it comes to those things like that. So let me ask you, are you a virtuous woman? Are you devoted to your husband? If not, let this be the day that you start. Have you put your husband first before everything else, right behind the Lord? Husbands, have you thanked your wives for all that she does for you? Have you been faithful to provide for her, pray with her, and show your love in practical ways? Have you treated her as a precious treasure of tremendous value? Indeed, a devoted wife is a treasure indeed. She is a great one. She is devoted to her husband, but secondly, she is diligent to her household. When you read verse 27, it says this: she looketh well to the ways of her household. She eateth not the bread of idleness. Now, we've lost this idea of traditional models that stay-at-home moms, and I understand that it takes two sometimes to make this thing work. I get that, but let me remind you, it always comes at a price. When you leave the home, it takes a toll on your family. So let me encourage you, if you have babies, try to stay at home with them as long as you can, at least till they get to school. And I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm just telling you, nobody will love your kids as you will. And so if you can, please try to stay at home as long as possible to raise those children up. And so look what this woman does. She provides for their everyday needs. She provides for their everyday needs in verse 13. She seeketh wool and flax. She worketh willing with her hands. She is like a merchant's ships. She brings her food from afar. She is going to this place and this place. She is a whirlwind. She is a worker with her hands. She gives meat to her household. She is not lazy, but a worker for her family. Somebody years ago began to add up all the things that this person would do in today's time. A chauffeur, a gardener, a family counselor, a maintenance worker, a cleaning woman, a housekeeper, a cook, an errand runner, a bookkeeper, a budget manager, interior decorator, caterer, dietitian, secretary, public relations person, hostess, and they came up with this huge list, and this was in 1980. They figured that it was about $800 a week. I'm telling you today, it would be a priceless amount of money for what our mothers do. Again, we've lost the team concept, and we bought into this idea of individual success. Let me remind you, let us go back to the ways of putting God first, our spouse next, our family next, and then the rest of the world. I believe this lady did that. She provides for their everyday needs, but also we find she provides for the ecclesiastical needs, that is, religious needs. Notice verse 26, she opened her mouth with wisdom. I'm reminded in Psalms 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Job chapter 28, verse 28 says, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. Proverbs 15, 33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And so we find that this woman instructs my wisdom that comes from the Lord for her children. Somebody said an ounce of mother is worth a ton of priest. There is much truth to that. Your children will come to you first for their religious learning. Your children will come to you for that example of godliness. Your children will see that first in your life. We must be that people that honor the Lord and speak by wisdom when it comes from the Word of God. Paul, writing to Timothy, reminds him of that godly parents. He says, in 2 Timothy 1:5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that it is in thee also. Paul said, Timothy, I saw it in your grandmother, I saw it in your mother, and I'm persuaded that same faith they had is in you. They impacted him when it came to knowing who Christ is. I wonder, are we doing the same? Well, not only does she provide for everyday needs and ecclesiastical needs, but she also provides for emotional needs. Verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. And so the idea is, not only do they train up children with a straight word about what is right and wrong, but also speaks with kindness. I'm just going to tell you, I've heard some people, matter of fact, I was around somebody this past week, and it was a man who's working on something. He had a son there, and he was talking to me as nice as he could be, but when his son did something, he talked so harshly to that young man. I thought, oh my goodness, how hard that must be. But here it says, her tongue is the law of kindness. And so she encourages, she lifts up, she blesses. She is the one that speaks about the kindness of the Lord. And it makes a great impact, and you will make a great impact as well. I think I've read this before, but let me read it again or say it again about Thomas Edison. You know, Thomas Edison lived to be 84 years old. He had 1,093 patents, him and some partners. And he was one of the greatest inventors this country has ever seen. But he had a problem when he was young. Matter of fact, when he was going to grade school, the teacher said, he is addled. There's no way this guy's going to do anything. And they basically kicked him to the side, and his mother said, I will take him. I will encourage him. I will teach him. And so his mother taught him. And so asked the question, who was greater, Thomas Edison or his mother? I would say it was his mother, because she impacted him so greatly. We need that ourselves. We need to see the example. We need to see what our mothers do for us. And when that happens, her children will rise up and will call her blessed. That's what the Word of God says. She has blessed her husband, and he praised her. She has blessed her children, and they praise her. I'm telling you, we need to follow that same example. Here's the third thing I want you to see. Not only is she devoted to her husband, and she is diligent to her household, but she has a desire to help the helpless. Verse 20 says, she stretches out her hand to the poor, yea, she reaches forth her hand to the needy. The virtuous woman doesn't stop with her family. She simply goes beyond that. It starts with one, her perception of those in need. It is easy to be hard-hearted in today's society. It is easy to look at others and say, oh, they're to blame for them. I'm just telling you, I see that sometimes. I'm a little hard-hearted at times myself. Just this past week, I go to Lowe's, and I'm buying some flowers for my mother, amen, or my wife, I should say. And so I'm there, and I see this camper pull up, and I see this lady get out. I didn't think much about it, and she knocks on there, goes around the other side, and these kids get out of the camper. And again, I didn't think much about it, but I just noticed it was odd. They were parked in the parking lot with this big camper with a generator on the back. So I make my way to Lowe's. I buy my flowers, amen, and I'm leaving, and I noticed this family had walked down to the corner, and they had a sign, and they were asking for money, as they were a homeless family, and yet they got out of this camper, and so they're going from town to town to town, evidently, begging for money. Now, I say all that to say this. Sometimes when we see this, and we are hardened, but a virtuous woman recognizes the truth between a true need. She overcomes a judgmental heart. She overcomes selfishness. She overcomes her own pride in one sense and is willing to see the needs of others. And so her perception of those in need also leads to a practice toward those in need. She truly gives. James said this in James chapter 1, verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. To visit the widows in their affliction. And so the true practice of religion is helping others. This virtuous woman had a desire to help those beyond her normal reach. She had a desire to help those that were truly hurting. Proverbs 28:27 says, he that giveth to the poor shall not lack, but he that hides his eyes shall have many a curse. And so there's been a many of ministry started in this church and others because godly women had a desire to help those in need. I think about Lottie Moon, Annie Armstrong, Mother's Day offering that goes to the children's home. Man, how many ministries we have in this church and others, again, because godly women took it upon themselves to say, we need to help. Let me say, our love for the Lord should impact more than just our own families. So let me ask you before I move on, do you have a heart that desires to help others in need? A virtuous woman surely does. Well, here's the last thing. Not only is she devoted to her husband, and she is diligent to her household, she has a desire to help the helpless, but lastly, she is dedicated to the Heavenly Father. Verse 31 says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Yair, it means to honor. Fear means to respect. Fear means to recognize as God supreme. That virtuous woman has surrendered to the Lord, has recognized eternity, and understood that what she does will impact that forever. I'm telling you, we need to be a people surrendered. We need to call on Christ. We need to humble ourselves. We need to understand where our help comes from. We need to say, Lord, you are first and foremost above everything else, and simply follow him. If you do not, all the good that you do on this side of eternity will be for naught on the other side of eternity. Why not honor and surrender day? Why? Because it impacts many, but also because she will receive shouts of praise. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but the woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Can you imagine one day being faithful to the Lord, being a virtuous woman, standing before the Lord one day and hearing these words found in Matthew 25:21. The Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. I'm also reminded in verse 40, it says, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. The greatest praise you will have is not on this earth as a virtuous woman. Yes, your husband should praise you. And yes, your children will praise you. And yes, the church will celebrate you. But the greatest praise is when you stand before the Lord himself and he sees what you've done as a virtuous woman and says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I love that poem. It says, your love, I know I've seen your tears. You've given to me my life. You walked through hours and days and years of heartache, toil, and strife to see that I could have the best that you could give to me. And you gave up needs and often rest as you viewed eternity. To do his will, my highest call, and by your special care, I stood and walked and did not fall. You held me up in prayer. And though strands of gray may brush your hair and miles divide our way, I know that by your quiet prayer, you've helped me day by day. You've shown to me to give, to share, to put my own needs last. You've helped me see and be aware that life is so soon past. Despite your love, I would not dare, for there's not another who spreads her gentle love and care like you, my loving mother. I am so thankful for those godly women in my life, for my godly mother, for the impact that many have you made in my life. So here's the invitation today. It starts by living for the Lord. I don't care if you're a man or a woman this morning. If you've never surrendered to the Lord, let this be the day. You cannot fulfill the things in this word if you do not surrender. It will be impossible to. So today, surrender to him. If you have not been faithful to that, if you have surrendered, commit today or recommit to doing that exact thing. But not only living for the Lord, but also, as the Proverb 31 woman did, to live to help for others, living a sacrificial life that impacts people for generations to come. Many of you are here today because your mother loved you enough to tell you about Christ, loved you enough to set the example, loved you enough to live for him, loved you enough to make you come to church, loved you enough for you to know the truth, and that truth has set you free. Make a commitment this morning to be that type of parent, to be that type of person, to live for the Lord Jesus. I'm telling you, there's no other way. And man, how good it will be when you stand before him and hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes just for a moment. The invitation is not long, but it's important. It's the idea of your life. You can't change the past. You can't change what was done yesterday. You can't change all those years ago. But you can change what you're doing right now. So if God's called you to do something different today, do it. If God's called you to live a different life, do it. If God's called you to surrender for the first time, do it. In a moment, we're going to sing. If you've never accepted Jesus, why not accept him right where you stand? And then why not make it public? Why not walk down that front of that aisle and say, Brother Paul, I need Jesus, or I pray to receive him. And the church will celebrate and pray with you. Maybe today it's church membership, and you feel like this is the place that you need to raise up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and God wants you in this place. We'll take you just like you are. Whatever it is, maybe it's at this altar praying for somebody in need, praying for parents, praying for children. Why not come? God's calling us to be that helping hand, to be that light that shines brightly, to be what he wants us to be. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for our mothers and what a blessing they've been to us. Help us, Lord, to be a blessing to them in all ways. Lord, I pray that we would all simply be a blessing to you by a surrendered life. If there's anyone here that needs to make a change today and a choice, let this be the day of salvation, the day of service, a day of surrender, a day of following you. Bless us now. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.